Welcome back to TRP.
Hi, welcome back to the Rosslare podcast. It's a great pleasure to welcome back Dr. Noel Cullerton, who's about to discuss the life and music of the Russian composer Borodin. Noel, could you tell me a little bit about Borodin?
The Russian composer Alexander Borodin was born in 1833. He was born illegitimately to a 62-year-old Russian prince and a 25-year-old married woman. As was the custom at the time, the prince registered him as the child of one of his serfs, Porfiry Borodin, hence the name Borodin. He was a lucky boy. His father stood by his illegitimate son very well. He made sure that the child and his mother were well taken care of financially, and he also gifted them a fine house to live in. He was also lucky in the fact that his mother was a well-educated, cultured woman who doted on him and always made sure that the boy did not want for anything as he grew up. Even though he was not the healthiest of children and did not go to any of the elite schools, he got an excellent education from private teachers. He was always very smart and excelled in every subject he was taught. He had an aptitude for languages, mathematics, the sciences, as well as being excellent at music. When he was 17, he enrolled in the Academy of Music, of Medicine and Surgery. He excelled in everything and soon came to the notice of the professor of chemistry, who marked him out as having a great future as a research scientist. He became a doctor in 1858, but instead of practicing as a doctor, he went into research and was awarded a PhD in chemistry. While he was studying for his PhD in chemistry in Heidelberg in 1859, he met a young, very talented pianist, Yekaterina Protopopova. She kept him interested in music while he was immersed in his chemical studies by bringing him to concerts of music by the great composers such as Schumann and Chopin and those. He quickly fell in love with her and they married. They returned home where he was appointed to the Faculty of Chemistry in the Academy of Medicine, St. Petersburg. They moved into accommodation on the campus and he lived there very happily for the rest of his days. He became a full-time teacher, researcher and administrator. He was always very busy throughout his whole professional life. He became an excellent researcher and made some significant advances in the field of organic chemistry, which brought him international recognition. He became one of the most respected scientists in all of Europe in his day. He and his somewhat eccentric wife lived their lives in constant state of near chaos. His wife loved cats, and the house was always full of their own and any stray cats that came along. The house was also an open house. Large numbers of relatives and friends used to come visit and often forgot to go home. It was not unusual for a relative to come in, to drop in for a cup of tea and stay for a week. Borodin often came home after a long day's work in the science labs to find himself someone sleeping in his bed. But he was a happy, easygoing man and never minded, and ended up sleeping on the couch or in a chair in his office. He loved the company and lively conversation and used to drink enormous quantities of tea. He was very much loved by his colleagues and his students. How he found time to play music, never mind compose, is a major miracle. He always said he was a Sunday composer. His interest in writing authentic Russian music grew over the years, and in 1867 he completed his first symphony. It had a really strong Russian flavour and was so highly received that he was encouraged to stick with writing some more. See, he was always getting conflicting advice about how he should conduct his busy life. While his close friends from the music world were telling him to concentrate on music, his professor in the university kept telling him to quit the music altogether, telling him, "You could not run with two hares at the same time." In the end, Borodin always kept the day job, but maintained a passion for musical composition. He used to say, "Science is my work and music is my fun."
I'm going to say, ask you something here. Maybe you can help me with this. I see he was known as one of the Mighty Handful.
Mighty Handful, yes.
And what does that mean?
Yeah, when he started taking an interest in music, there was very little nationalist Russian music. Any classical music that was played in Russia at the time mainly came from Italy and France and wherever. No one even thought that there was an authentic Russian music. So a bunch of amateurs got together one day. Borodin was one. Rimsky-Korsakov was the second, Mussorgsky was the third, and Nedofad Kui was the fourth. And they were led by a fellow called Balakirov. And they were all amateurs, but they all were determined that they would write authentic Russian music. And some journalist was at a concert one night and heard them play, and he thought they were tremendous. and he called them in the paper the following day, the Mighty Handful. And that's how that name stuck. The people liked it, and that stuck. But they took great pride in the fact that they were all amateurs. Now, they all went their separate ways eventually, and some of them did very well and some not so well. But in fact, they had a huge influence on the development of classical music in Russia, based on authentic Russian themes, and Borodin was one of the leading lights.
Fascinating that, yeah. So basically what you're saying was before that, they felt that they weren't good enough to create classical music.
Well, it never even entered their heads that the ruling aristocracy, if they wanted to hear music, they got some Italians in to do it. The very first man, it was a guy called Glinka. And it was he sort of threw in the ball into, hang on now, we have our own music here, let's try and make something of it. But those five people led the charge and have been, like Rimsky-Korsakov was one of them. We could have a whole talk about him someday, but he was an exceptional character. He ended up professor of music in the university and made a huge impact. But yeah, all five of them were quite exceptional people.
And in terms of Borodin's scientific career, did he pursue that? Like you said, the music was his fun, but was he making his money from the music? Or was
he was a full-time member of the faculty in the university. So he was a lecturer, and I'll say a little bit more about him later on. But yeah, he earned his living as a full-time academic. That's how he earned his living. So he got paid the same as everyone else, but he did very well. We'll talk a little bit more about that now. A fellow composer actually described, a fellow called Rimsky-Korsakov, described how Borodin used to work. He'd be composing a piece of music on the piano. Suddenly he would jump up and run down to the laboratory to check that his Bunsen burner was working and that experiments were progressing according to plan. At all stages, he'd be singing or shouting at the top of his voice, going over what he composed. So he's an incredible, he had his music and his work intimately. If you went into his office now, there'd be formulas and all sorts of chemical books here, and underneath it'd be some score he had written. So he lived in a stage of constant chaos because he was so busy all the time doing both.
So he's a man who could multitask.
Multitask man, yeah.
But I just want to ask, was he a pianist, or what was his instrument?
Well, he used to compose using the piano.
Yeah, yeah.
He used to compose using the piano. But he found it difficult to devote time to his music because in his work, apart from his chemistry, he also founded a faculty of medicine for women, which was the first in Russia. It was quite revolutionary at the time. He also started a free laboratory for impoverished sign teachers. So he was a man of some distinction. He was a man who had a great energy and great vision. All that work delayed the publication of a second symphony, which didn't come out until about 1876. He produced a string quartet in the following year, which contains a slow movement, which ranks, to my mind, the best ever to come out of Russia. In the same year, he wrote a tone poem called On the Steppes of Central Asia, and that remains, this is just the most beautiful piece of work, and remains one of his most popular works. He always wanted to write an opera, and had been working on one since 1869. His opera was based on the legendary Russian guy called Prince Igor, and he worked on that opera for the rest of his life, sometimes in a concentrated and feverish burst of energy, and at times allowing it to lie untouched for several years. He never completed it, dying before he finished it. And this task of finishing was completed by his friends, among them Rimsky-Korsakov, that we mentioned earlier. But he was a methodical man, and he brought the research into that opera the same as he brought into his work. He researched the subject diligently, and there are those that say that the history, what he found out about Prince and Igor, has become almost an authentic history in its own right. He was that thorough and that dedicated to detail. What stopped him most in his composition of that opera, which he always had a vision to finish, was that he had a series of tragedies that struck him in the closing years of his life. In 1884, he was seriously ill from a suspected bout of cholera. His wife suffered from asthma and also developed insomnia, and to turn day into night almost. And this always prevented Borodin from developing any kind of normal routine. And ominously, he started to get chest pains. In 1887, he attended a dance at the university, dressed in a Russian national dress. Typical of him, he entered into the spirit of the evening, and at about midnight, he jumped up to have a final energetic dance. He fell on the floor and died instantly and he was only 54 years of age, a terrible tragedy. Wow. He did not produce a great quantity of music, obviously for the, how busy he was, but still in all, he had about 40 pieces of music to his credit. One critic unkindly remarked that no musician has ever laid claim to immortality with so slender an offering. I think this is not fair to him, because there's no doubt there's an absolute touch of genius about what he did write. We listen to a piece from his gigantic nationalist opera, Prince Igor, and we will listen to the Dance of the Polsavian Maidens. It's in Act Two.
Thank you.
And that was taken from Alexander Bourdin's Prince Igor. The piece was The Dance of the Polovtsian Maidens, sung by Olga Borodina, performed by the Sofia Festival Orchestra, conducted by Emil Chakarov. Keep on listening to TRP.